All right, you can take your seats. Dustin and I are going to jump into this tag team message today. Bless you, Dustin. So happy to do this together. He had a message in the youth group this week that just really dovetails in. It's just like, it's such a good thing to be able to tag into. By the way, for those of you that didn't get these notes when you came in today, our ushers are kind of our host team's walking around to give them to you. They'll hand this out to you real quick and help you follow along this morning. You can write down any of the takeaways you get. And what I want to do to start off this morning is just take a quick second and recap where we've been. We had a guest speaker last week. It was amazing. But we want to take a little time and just... Did you guys enjoy our Russian guests last week? Man, those guys are just so much fun. That afternoon, they all came into our house, and I didn't know this. We got some more up front that need the notes right over here. Their hand, lots of hands still up. Just keep your hand up for a really long time. I'll just feel like you're amening me. Just keep it up. Yeah, amen. No. Yeah, I got some more around. Just they'll find you. Keep moving around, guys. But they came to our house Sunday afternoon. We fed them lunch. And then they started singing, and they started breaking into song. And, like, it was crazy. They were like this awesome choir. This guy didn't even know. Remember Oleg played piano over here? He got started playing piano in our house. It was crazy. I put it on YouTube. It had, like, all the Russians in Russia saw it. It's had almost 2,000 views on not YouTube, but on Facebook. And it was... I think everyone liked seeing Vladimir singing. They didn't know he had a hidden gift. So great to have them. Let's come back around to what we learned about integrity just real quick. We learned that, first of all, on the front cover of your notes, that it means my whole heart belongs to God, not just a part, not just a fraction. It means that I'm connected, that every area of my life is connected to God, not just parts and decimals, but all of me. It's the unwavering determination to do what is right. And integrity means truthfulness in every area. All of those things encapsulate integrity, okay? We talked about Job in week number one. And Job is a story about integrity. It starts off saying the guy has integrity, and he's honest inside and out. And then it gets to this point where he's going through testing. And testing is where we find out how much integrity we've got. What's our IQ, our integrity quotient? Not just our intelligence quotient. We find out right away when we're tested what's there. And Job, in this amazing situation where he's going through suffering, he wouldn't allow his circumstances to give him permission to stop being integrous. Even though his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? It's like, wow, what a discouraging word. But he pressed in, and right away we see that there is grit in integrity, right? Like it takes courage, strength, resolve. And we see that in Job. And he did this thing that was amazing. He took one more step beyond just sort of suffering. It says in the midst of all that he was doing, he worshiped. He worshiped. Tell somebody it's time to worship. He didn't just sit there like, I'm bombed, life is hard. He's like, okay, it is hard, but I choose to worship. The second week, Rachel talked about integrity in rest and work. And so much we learned there, but one of the key thoughts that she shared with us that was amazing for me is that we need to know the difference between when we're supposed to rest and when we're supposed to quit. Like, sometimes we get burnout and we want to give up, and it's like, you know what? It's not it right now. We're not supposed to quit. We're supposed to learn to rest in Jesus. If you're tired, learn to rest, not quit. Can you say amen? So, and we learned that integrity invites introspection. They went out working. They came aside to rest with Jesus. They told him everything going on in their life. They invited inspection into their lives. We need to not be afraid to be vulnerable with Jesus and each other. To open up and say, here's what's going on with me, Jesus. He already knows. But when you open it up to him, it creates connection and communion. We're not trying to hide. We're not having an Adam, where are you kind of moment. Okay? All right. Today, let me just read you 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Love this verse. Rachel brought it up from the Message translation. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. That's a great way to sum up integrity. Holy and whole. So this morning we want to jump off from there and talk about part 3, integrity in communication. how we communicate. We need integrity in this area more than ever before. We've just come through a very historic, stressful election season and week. People are emotionally invested, and so there's a lot of emotional responses to it. I knew coming into after that day, don't assume that everybody in our church, by the way, has the same political party as you or thinks like you. I'm so grateful that in our church family, our connection in Christ transcends other differences like political parties. And personally, a long time ago, I made a decision to not be in a political party anymore because I don't want to ever, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be, but I didn't want to ever have my faith somehow be aligned with, like, I just want to have it transcend it. And so I say all that to say it's been a stressful week, and we've seen a lot of what not to do in communication. And I'm not even tagging that on anybody specifically, just in general. And if we take our cues from what's been modeled to us in this last election cycle about how to talk to each other, we are going to be in a world of hurt. And I don't think anybody in this room actually would think, yeah, that's how we should talk to each other. No one thinks that. But it still influences us and affects us. We need to step up into something different. So this morning, we want to really focus in on point number one on the inside. Is this. We're called to communicate out of wholeness and not brokenness. That's where we're starting, out of wholeness. Integrity is wholeness. We want to communicate out of integrity, not brokenness. You know, when something difficult's going on, when I'm in pain, I have the temptation to kind of react out of that place rather than connecting with Jesus in it and speaking from that place. Even when we're hurting, we can still connect with the Lord in that, invite Him into it, and then communicate. Okay, so we don't want to communicate out of brokenness. We want to communicate out of wholeness. And I'm not saying you can't be perfect, that you have to be perfect or else, you know, you can't communicate, like none of us would be able to talk. Like, I'm not saying you can't speak while you still got some stuff going on in your life. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying do it out of your connection with Jesus. That's integrity. My whole life, Jesus is connected to it. Okay, so with that in mind, Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Jesus is speaking about communication. The abundance is the delight or that which fills the heart. Whatever my heart is full of is going to find its way out of my mouth or out of my fingertips onto Facebook or out of my thumbs onto Twitter. That's email is communication too. Social media is communication too. I made a rule a long time ago not to send an emotionally charged email or to send an email about an emotionally charged topic, but to pick up the phone so somebody could hear that I love them while we're talking about, or get face to face so they know that I love them while we're talking about this tough issue. I haven't always done that right, but I just realized, wow, communication is a complicated thing. Some people say it's 10% words, 90% body language. I don't know how they quite measure it, but if you're talking about something that's difficult, you want people to see your body language and not just have their own pain interpret the words you're writing down. Anyway, that's just for free. That's not really in my notes. I got to stay on track. We don't have a lot of time. Okay, so here's the thing. We need to steward our hearts so to make sure they're full of life and love and God's presence, and because what we're full of is going to flow out. And there's a statement about Job in this area of his life that's really profound. It says this in Job 2, verse 10. In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Isn't that incredible? In all of what Job was going through, he did not sin with his words. I can think of myself going through a lot less and sinning with my lips. Speaking things that weren't encouraging, weren't life-giving. For a lot less than what Job went through. So that's an amazing high standard. But I was thinking about this, and I realized integrity in communication is not just about not sinning. Like, it's good to go out and say, you know what, I want to not sin with my words today. But integrity is more than that. Wholeness in our communication is more than that. It's actually about releasing blessing. Not just being on the defense, but going on the offense. Not offensive, but on the offense in terms of releasing blessing into the world around us. Speaking life. Words, this is in your notes now, words create worlds. The words we speak shape the world around us. God spoke, the worlds were formed. He made us in his image. He made Adam to name the animals in the garden. It's like he shaped them. There's something about being in the image of God. We're called to also shape the environment and the world we live in with the words that we speak. So the question is, what kind of a world do you want to live in? Words change the atmosphere. Speaking blessing releases life. Complaining and grumbling can release hopelessness and anger. The power of life and death are in the tongue. Now, I'm not saying you can't ever process and say, I'm feeling like this right now. I'm not saying that. But there is a difference between grumbling and in some healthy processing. There really is. There really is. And I've learned this too. Nobody would really ever just kind of walk out of the presence of God like, I don't want to be with the Lord right now because God is so good. But a lot of people talk their way out of the presence of God. They don't walk out, they talk out. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, James 3 says. Ephesians 4:29 says this. Want to hear about a zero tolerance policy? Listen to this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So only 10% of the words, 5%, 3 per day. What's the quota? The quota is zero tolerance policy. Who's the enforcer? You. Of your own mouth. It's called self-control. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you can do it. And I can do it. What's supposed to come out? What is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That what comes out of your mouth literally imparts grace to people around you. That's amazing. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things, everything you're doing, the big things, the little things, without. So there's some baggage you could have, you're not supposed to have, you got to lose this baggage. Without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So all things without grumbling and arguing, that's how we're supposed to do all things. And it actually, that kind of integrity in our communications shines as a light in the world. Now, there's something about testing that can bring out the worst or best in us. And some of the most difficult times to communicate are when we're anxious or angry or accused. We start to become defensive when we're accused. And when we think about integrity and the grit in integrity, in those moments, it's this. It takes grit to hold on to the Lord in those moments where you're anxious or angry or feeling accused. It takes grit to hold on to him and just rest in him rather than react. To invite him into that pain in those moments and then speak life. You know, the strongest person in the room is not the one with the biggest reaction or the loudest voice or the biggest opinion. Sometimes the strongest person in the room is the person that's able to not say anything when they want to react in a certain way. You guys realize that? It's important. Jesus, when insulted, didn't insult in return. When he was being the most persecuted, the most falsely accused, there are places in the scripture where it says, Jesus answered them nothing, nada, zilch. He didn't say a word. I think about the cross. When there was the thieves throwing insults at Jesus, you know what he said to them? After one of them insulting, accusing, Jesus turned to the one that finally said, Lord, remember me. I mean, they're casting insults, and one finally says, well, just in case, Lord, remember me. And Jesus looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. I think some people would have been like, hey, you're just going to have to hang there for a while because what you said was not cool. No. Jesus forgave him. Here's my point. We talk about integrity and communication. The one that forgave that penitent thief on the cross lives in you. Dustin. Come
on. Yeah, come on. That's good stuff. This is so good. You guys ready? Number two, this is really important. We are called to communicate with honor, free from bitterness. What I want to do is I want to take you to a passage of scripture that is kind of shocking, actually, that it's in the Bible. It's very convicting for me personally. I tend to be a rebel at heart, tend to like cause problems, I tend to speak without a filter on my mouth. That's something that like it's a process for me, right? Like, ooh. Sorry, pull that back, you know. Having kids, it's funny. You know, like in relationships, like you say something kind of offends someone or stir something up. And you kind of like, I don't know, like with adults when I was younger, it was kind of like, they've grown up, they can handle it. You know, like we can still love each other. And I just would say things. But you take a child, you come home a little stressed, a little frustrated from stuff that's going on. Maybe I'm on a phone call. I come walking to my house and Cohen's there and he's hanging out. I'm like, you just call it on the table, right? Or maybe it comes out a little bit more frustrated than that. Like, what are you doing coloring on the table? And the look of just like, just crushing his little heart, you know? It's like a mirror right away. Like, oh my gosh, my words are extremely powerful. And I need to think through how I'm communicating to people in the midst of disagreement, in the midst of frustration, in the midst of emotionally charged situations. What I want to do is I want to take you to a passage in Romans chapter 13. And what we're going to do is we're going to actually just kind of briefly read through this and talk through it a little bit. I want to set the stage. Paul, you need to remember, has gone through the gamut of being like an enforcer in government, right? Different things. He was a Pharisee. He was persecuting Christians. He did all sorts of stuff. And then he gets saved. He goes through the gamut of being persecuted himself, being beaten, shipwrecked, all sorts of things. And he's been on both sides of the argument. He's been on all these different contexts. And he pens these words. And I want you to hear them for a second. And then I'm going to give you a context in terms of how to live out this aspect of integrity and communication in the midst of chaos, disagreements, and in that realm. Is that okay? Let's look at this. Romans chapter 13. Now, remember, this was a passage that I had to like read every day for a while as a teenager. Just saying. Oh man. Romans chapter 13. Check this out. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. I didn't write this. I'm just saying, I did not write this. Okay? This was not, if I was writing Romans, I would not be writing this. Okay? For all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And you got to remember the context in which he's writing this. Some of the most wicked emperors ever were Roman emperors. He's not writing this as an essay in terms of condoning the behavior or the system of government that he was functioning in and under. He was writing this as an attitude adjustment for people's hearts to understand how authority works. We have to understand this in this context because what happens is we can get you can get caught up in the environment that you're in. And this is words for regardless of where you find yourself right now currently. I want to keep reading this for a second. It says this, so anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Now, there's a lot to be said here, but now you got to understand, Paul went to prison. He was beaten. You know, we're talking about Roman emperors that burned people at the stake to light up their gardens. So he's not condoning those acts. He's talking about a heart adjustment, an attitude adjustment that we have to recognize how this works. We're going to skim down a little bit. I love this verse 6. I'm just going to read it just to kind of stir the pot a little bit, if that's okay. pay your taxes too. Dang it, Paul. Oh, dang it. Okay, let's go back, finish reading. All right. Pay your taxes too for these same reasons, for government workers need to be paid. They're serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees too. Now, this is why I want to read this. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. He doesn't say agree with them, does he? Does he say to agree with them? He says pay respect and honor to them. See, this brings us to a really, really important point here. Honor is not the same thing as agreement. Did you hear me? Honor is not the same thing as agreement. We have to get it. As I can disagree with someone and still completely honor and respect them. Even if it's him. Come on, me and Caleb, we agree on everything. No. On most things, no. Here's the thing. If honor and agreement, if honor and agreement were the same thing, we would never be able to even be married. Yes, for certainly not me and Savannah. We're both very stubborn, and we, you know, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, Savannah's super sweet, but she is stubborn. It's an incredible gift to me because I need it. And she's not in here, so I can say it. So, dang it. Oh, man. Totally just got caught. See, it's an important thing that we understand that we can disagree but completely honor and respect each other and love each other. We can be in love, and still disagree. Are you guys hearing my words? I can be in love, captivated fully in my heart towards her, and still disagree. And it's important that we understand this because Paul is writing about an attitude that we have to capture. We have to get a hold of in our heart. He's not saying to, like, you know, when there's injustices and things like that, he's not saying just lay over and be a weakling and just like, hey, whatever goes, whatever goes. No, he's saying live right, live just, but honor and respect each other. Do it in a way that communicates honor. I want to take you to a verse just like 6 verses before he writes this. He actually gives the most incredible short passage of verses. It's going to wreck your heart right now. He lays it out exactly how to do this in a way that's right and honors God. When you disagree, when there's confusion and chaos and just that kind of contention, he actually lays out a specific thing. I want to read this to you. If you just back up a few verses, chapter 12, verse 9. Are you ready for this? You got to be ready. Don't just pretend to love others. That's actually in the Bible. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Really love them. Don't just lip service like, hey, I love you, man. We're good. Jerk. That's not what he's talking about. He's actually saying, love them. Like, I care for you. Like, I'm, do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're here. Love each other. It's important to capture this. The next verse, this is so crazy how it lays this out. Hate what is wrong, but hold tightly to what is good. He's not saying change your morality, change your ethics. He's not saying give up on actual stuff that's right and wrong. He's saying love people. Care for them. Love each other with genuine affection. And then this is the kicker. Take delight in honoring each other. Enjoy it. Enjoy being able to honor each other. Enjoy the process of talking just amazing stuff about people. Find those people. I love this. Words create the environment, shape things, right? Find those people that you disagree with and then just honor them. Find like the coolest thing about them and just talk about it. It'll shape and change your heart. It's really, really easy to do, actually. We have Travis here, right? Travis is one of our leaders. He's involved in kids' church, a bunch of different stuff, right? Come on, you guys love Travis. He's an incredible guy. Travis Right? He's one of our youth leaders, and he's been helping train up like teenagers in the prophetic and a bunch of stuff like that, right? So we had a few weeks ago, we did some prophetic stuff, and hey, some of the words were good, some of the words were not bad. They just weren't very accurate, right? That's okay. We're growing, we celebrate risk, right? And so we're talking about how to develop that and train that and coach kids. And he comes to me later and he's like, hey, this is what I did, this is how it took, like this is what we did. And I'm just, it was like he had already taken care of everything. And it's like letting me know later, like, oh yeah, this is what happened, da, 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 and just went through, like, I'm like, I couldn't have done that better myself. This is amazing. Like, Travis, like, you're incredible, right? I mean, he's an incredible leader. He's an incredible man of God. Now, what happened to all of you right now in your perspective on Travis? Every single one of you had a shift in terms of how you see him. And you need to learn to enjoy that process. If you knew Travis when he was a middle schooler or a high schooler and a rabble-rouser going crazy, all of a sudden now you hear something about his life and you're like, wow, I didn't know that about him. That's amazing. That's incredible. Wow. Right? And you begin to enjoy that process. Do I agree with Travis? No, we actually have like hilarious arguments about stuff. It's awesome. But are you guys tracking with me the difference? And Paul, what Paul's describing here is a way of communicating wholeness. Come on. I'm going to skim through just a couple of these verses because we just need to touch on this. I love this next one. It says in verse 11, never be lazy. Boom. I'm sorry. The reason why it says that is because this takes a lot of work. You have to dedicate yourself to it. You can't just like happen upon loving each other well. Does that make sense? It's not just like a chance or a mistake. Come on, let's look at this. Oh, come on. Bless these guys. They're going downstairs. Come on. They're amazing. We're super excited about baptism. We want to skip down because there are some incredible, just if you have a chance, I want you to read the rest of this chapter because it really will just rock you. I love the NLT version of this particular verse because it's just so simple in this English. But I want to jump verse 14. It says this. It says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Man. Regardless of the side of the fence that you find yourself right now, regardless of the result that you wanted in the polls, whether you are celebrating and excited about what happened or you are mourning and broken and hurting right now, our response is the same. Our responsibility is the same. When you're in conflict with an employer or a coworker, your response is the same. When there's a coworker that cheats you out of a promotion or a work project, your response is the same. When you have an argument at home with your spouse or your kids or your parents, your response is still the same. Integrity in our communication. There's a verse here, right here. It says, do everything in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Verse 17. Verse 21, and this we're going to end this portion right here. It says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Come on, don't let evil conquer you. You get to have some control in this. Come on, the ultimate rebellion is lifting off that shackle of the temptation to speak evil and to do evil, but conquer it by doing good. Come on, and that last blank there is we treat people honorably because we are honorable people, not because people deserve it. I don't honor people because they deserve it. I honor people because that's who I am. I'm an honorable person, and I will speak in such a way that people see that I'm honorable, and it causes honor and respect on other people's lives. Amen? Amen. Tag.
Awesome. Thank you, Dustin. And Dustin's going to be Duncan.
Yes.
So are you headed out with the rest of them right now? We'll see you in a minute on the big screen. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dustin. Appreciate what you were sharing today. You know, that's such a good work. Sometimes we think that people need to earn honor, and then we're going to go ahead and honor them. But like the Bible says, kind of puts it in reverse. Sometimes honor is prophetic. You're honoring somebody because of who you are, not just because of who they are. And in doing that, it actually calls out the best parts of them. It's an amazing thing. You know, we have an opportunity to love and to be peacemakers and to really do a different kind of communication, like the kind of communication where I don't label someone so I can disconnect from them, but I listen to them because I love them, even though I might disagree with them. And here's the thing. It's like there used to be something, and it still exists, but I think we need a lot more of it, and it's called civil discourse. Civil discourse is where I communicate with respect. I communicate in a way that never diminishes someone else's worth. You know, it's really just sad when you disagree with someone and you feel such a need to be right that you need to actually take that person down and diminish their worth. Honorable communication doesn't do that. It avoids hostility. It requires humility. It actually has appreciation for the other person's experience and what they've gone through in life and what they're going through right now. Okay? All right. So I think that's kind of old school, and it's a good old school value, and we need it. And it sounds just a lot like being a Christian to me. So I say, let's do it. Sounds a lot like 1 Corinthians 13 to me. And there's another thing we could say just in this segment, and then we're going to wrap up with point three. If you have nothing honoring to say to someone, then you have nothing to say to them. Now, I'm not saying you can't speak the truth in love. You can disagree in love, but if you can't do it in honor, you really have nothing to say. Come on and say amen. All right. Let's wrap it up with point number three. We're called to communicate truthfully without exaggeration. Sometimes when you want to win and make your point, like you feel like you've got to like put some extra little something on there. Or even if you like you want to put something in the best light because you want to be a positive person. Sometimes that could be the temptation. But we're actually called to communicate without any exaggeration. Proverbs 12:22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth." We saw that Job was a man honest inside and out. If you can throw Job 1 up there. And it says this, he was a man of his word. So he was honest and he was a man of his word. Those two things really encapsulate truthfulness. Honest inside and out. You know, I've learned something. When somebody is deceived or somebody is lying a lot, almost every time they're lying to others because they first were lying to themselves. They weren't speaking the truth even in their own hearts. They were telling themselves things they wanted to hear to talk themselves into doing something that was wrong and saying that it was right. And then they start continuing that to everybody else. And it just becomes this whole web of living in this web of lies. And it's really sticky and it's hard to get out of. But, you know, when we love the truth on the inward parts, like the Bible says, the truth sets us free. It's incredibly, incredibly freeing. Just to have truth on the inward parts. But also, it says, we need to, you know, this is like an incredible thing about Job. Not only is he honest inside and out, but he's a man of his word. He's a man that keeps his word. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Has he spoken and will he not make good?" You know, we're being transformed progressively more and more to be like Jesus. And it says right here, when he has spoken, this is a rhetorical question, when he has spoken, he is going to make it good. Sometimes speaking truthfully means you say it, and you know what? Then you follow through and you do it. It's not just like, hey, yeah, oh yeah, all these things, it's going to be amazing. And then you're like the son who says, I'm going to go, and then you don't. That's actually just living to kind of impress people, but when it comes down to it, you don't actually follow through. That's an issue of truthfulness as well. So that's what this is saying. And then I just love Psalm 141, verse 3, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this segment, but we needed to really talk about the truthfulness element. Psalm 141, verse 3 says this, I want you to read it out loud with me if you would. You guys ready? One, two, three. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips to keep me from speaking thoughtlessly. A guard is like, I picture like a troop of soldiers there to like stand watch. The Lord has given us something even better. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And I feel like this is a gift God wants to release to us right now, today. Like, this is part of what He wants to release in our lives this morning, one part of it. Like, just this awareness of how powerful our words are and that there is a watch set over our speech. Because our words change the atmosphere around us. You know, the more we know His heart, the more we become a person after His heart. And when we speak from our heart, it carries His heart, His love. And when we have integrity, final point here, when we have integrity in our communication, we're speaking out of wholeness, communicating with honor, speaking the truth in love, and as a result, releasing the kingdom of God in our environment. So those are all part of communication. You know, integrity in our communication.